All right, let's head over to the Zoom line here where we have the co-creator of Landman joining us, Christian Wallace. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, fantastic. I appreciate you joining the program here today. A couple radio programs as well as some podcasts that we put out there. And Landman, fantastic show, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Season finale around the corner, episode 10. The Crumbs of Hope discount links available in the description or any of the reviews that we do on Landman as well. Before we get into the show Landman, let's talk about your personal journey a little bit. Set the table, if you will, Boomtown, your podcast that this whole thing is based on. Your personal journey and a little bit about Boomtime, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so I grew up in Andrews, Texas, which is near Midland, Odessa, just north of there. My whole life I was surrounded by oil field. My uncle worked in the oil field. He was a tubing tester, was on casing crews, diesel mechanic. I actually worked as a workover rig hand in 2013 for about a year, and still have a lot of buddies in the oil and gas industry. My brother works in the oil field now. Family's all still in Andrews, and so West Texas and the Permian Basin are very near and dear to me. And in 2019, I did a podcast called Boomtown. I was working as a staff writer at Texas Monthly Magazine, and they wanted to do a podcast series. I pitched them an idea about the oil boom that was happening in 2018, 2019 in West Texas at the time. And I just kind of felt that it had never been covered in the way that I wanted to see it covered, which was more narrative, character driven. I had read, articles in Bloomberg and Financial Times about the economics of the boom, about the production barrels per day, about flaring, about all this stuff, but I'd never really seen anything that focused on the men and women who work in the patch and who live there and who make their lives there. And so I was, passionate about doing something that explored different facets from the ranching to the school systems in Midland, Odessa, to just the crazy traffic fatalities that were afflicting the region at that time and still do to an extent. And just to try to paint a more holistic picture of the Permian Basin. And I was kind of shocked that as the series started to come out, we got a lot of attraction very quickly. It was, it became, I think it rose to number 14 on the Apple Podcast charts, number one in the documentary category. And I had people from all around the world literally reaching out. And I think the reason why it struck a chord with so many people is because they realized that oil and gas is a daily part of their lives. It's interwoven into the fabric of their existence. And yet most people don't ever think about it. It's kind of like our food production in some ways. People think that food comes from a grocery store and they don't think about the people who actually raise cattle and grow our food. And in the same way, I kind of felt like roughnecks and roustabouts and these oil field servicing companies, I felt like they were just kind of these unsung heroes of how our modern world runs. And so Boomtown was a way to tell that story. And then in 2020, Taylor Sheridan and his producing partner David Glasser reached out and they acquired the rights to the podcast. And then Taylor and I spent the next 2 years talking about the show and discussing the world, different characters and storylines. And it grew from there. Taylor brought me on as the co-creator of the show and an executive producer. And Taylor wrote every episode of the first season, and I helped kind of with the dialogue and with some of the scenarios and things like that, and was on set every day during filming. And yeah, here we are now with the first season out, so.
The one thing that Landman has really seemed to do more than pretty much any energy content that's come out in a long time is it's really made a serious attempt to humanize the industry. And a lot of what you're talking about with Boomtown was your inspiration behind that. But just the little things like upbeat music while there's oil and gas rigs in the background, and those just little elements about being able to really humanize and show the industry. The one thing on the crude life we always joke about is that there's upstream, downstream, midstream, and the salmon stream. You know, you got the cafe owners and you got the flower shop owners and you've got the waitresses and the servers and the bartenders. They're just as important as the frack crew. I mean, it's a community type of a thing. So I did have a few questions just asking about the humanization, and you did touch on a little bit, but talk about that a little bit and maybe cite an example or two like I did with the music in the background, because the music's a big part. If it's especially if it's upbeat, it's not some eerie, you know, Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers music, which can totally give you a different tone. But it does seem like there's a very serious attempt to humanize the industry in this program.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with the salmon stream. I've never heard that term before, but I like it. You know, booms and busts affect every single person in a town where oil is the main driving part of the economy. And so everywhere around, like every small town around me growing up, I saw how it affected everyone from the car salesman to the waitress at the diner. Kind of everyone's fortunes are tethered together. And that's a very interesting part of those communities that I think is kind of hard to translate to people that are from places where it's not like that. So that was one important thing. And as far as like what you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned the music, you know, the upbeat music to the rig work. Part of that is I remember being on the rig multiple days. Once I got the hang of running the tongs and stuff and wasn't just, you know, scared out of my gourd every time I was on the rig floor, I remember thinking that it was a very beautiful dance of this choreography of four men working, doing this kind of incredible work. And the only people there to witness were the mesquite trees and the sky. And yeah, I just thought, man, more people should be able to see this orchestra playing out. And it is beautiful, I think. It's a dance. And I don't know. There's things like the Boomtown Babes, the baristas at the Bikini coffee shop. Like that's just a detail that is actually part of that community. The folks at the Patch Cafe, that's not a specific cafe, but it's like so many of the places I've gone to in Midland, Odessa, where, you know, it really is like there was this place called the Pioneer Cafe in Goldsmith where I would go in early in the morning and the night shift would be getting off and they'd be all basically having dinner and drinking beer and the day shift was just starting, so everyone's having their breakfast before heading out, and it was just like this strange confluence, you know, and those things are just fun to portray on screen.
There's so many detail elements that are fantastic and really do help tell the story. Now, there's a few details that, you know, like the wrench and a few other things that, you know, are just you have to suspend your belief in reality a little bit.
I've heard
And
all about that wrench from
oh, I'm
every
sure.
person in my family. So.
Well, I'm sure. And you know, one of the things, you know, we do a reaction review show, an oil man reviews the land man show, and you know, we don't really get too much into the details on that. We talk about them a little bit, but what we talk about more is just the bigger picture that's being told here. But it does seem like there is a little bit of Hollywood sensationalism. At least that's some of the talk with this. But there is a lot of reality. Like, I do want to talk about Allie Larder's character. It's literally like they plucked her right out of West Texas. She has got to win an award for that role she's playing. It is the most realistic character I've seen on a screen in a long time. But the cartel, a lot of people believe that that is a sensational Hollywood storyline that's completely made up. Maybe the success of Ozark and a few of the other Justified and some of the other programs brought the cartel in. But when you're talking about border issues and you're talking about some of the things down in Texas, it seems like it probably could have happened a couple times, maybe once, maybe twice. It doesn't happen every time, no, but it seems like that one might be a little more real than sensational, even though it seems extremely sensational. Has anybody asked you about the cartel, if that's real, if that's a sensational, if it's made up?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how many things that people tend to think are sensational or a little overly Hollywoodized are actually based on some reality. And then things like The Wrench, the average audience member doesn't think a thing about that, but the oil and gas guys are like, it's on backwards. You'd go get a cheater pipe or whatever. But yeah, as far as the cartel goes, for instance, like the plane landing on the highway. I mean, to unload their cargo of illegal drugs. Like, that's based on a story I actually heard. It's a testimony of a Texas Ranger out in Loving County. They landed on this rural road and ended up getting in a shootout with the Texas Rangers. So that's that. An oil tanker didn't hit the plane. But you take one version of reality and you add a little bit of extra drama, excitement to the narrative, but it is that kernel of truth. The guy getting crushed by pipes, like that's based on an actual story that I heard from my uncle, and the guy really did call his wife before he passed. It was a pipe rack and not pipe, but again, you take a kernel of truth and you go from there. And as far as like the cartel, I mean, yes, there's some fictionalization, a lot of fictionalization going on there to tell this specific story to make it exciting. But there's no doubt that these two industries are living side by side in that region of Texas. And there's all sorts of oil theft and equipment theft that goes on out there. There's rings, doing illegal CDLs or fake CDLs and all sorts of stuff that we haven't even, actually, we've only skimmed the surface on some of the things that go on out there. But to my knowledge, the National Guard hasn't been called out to deal with them yet. So, we're definitely taking some liberties here and there.
I mentioned Allie Larder's character as somebody who I thought probably has done the best job of portraying in West Texas, but it seems his is more of a respect for the industry. It almost like he grew up in it or has family in it or something along those lines. Talk to me a little bit about the cast, what it's like. Jacob Lofland, I believe is his
Laughlin,
name.
yep.
Yeah, I remember him from Justified when he was probably 10 years old. Great cast. Anybody stand out to you that is doing a phenomenal job or just hit it right on the head?
Well, I mean, obviously Billy is great in every single scene. I feel like, his performance can't be praised enough. But you mentioned Jacob, and I would like to just say about him, we had a lot of great actors audition for that role. And for me, Jacob was the clear choice because he feels to me like he embodies that role. And his father actually built rigs. He's from Arkansas. His uncle also worked in the industry. He understands it in a way that most people don't, and he cared so deeply about performing it well. And then, I mean, like you mentioned, Allie Larder and Michelle Randolph too, I think they're just they add some levity to the show and some humor that you need. I mean, the oil field isn't always a very funny place, you know. It can be tough in many ways. But yeah, I think they just add something really unique and special to the show. And also a call out to they're only in the first episode, but Michael Pena and Emilio Rivera, Alejandro Acara, like those three dudes, I feel like in that little bit of time that you just come to love them so quickly. And so their deaths in that first episode is just so crushing, because I would have loved to see them play off of Jacob's character, Cooper. I would have loved to see more of them, but you know, sometimes tragedy does strike. Obviously, three men dying in one accident is unique, but it's not unheard of. That's actually, again, inspired by real events. So those do things do happen. And so we wanted to portray the danger, the tragedy, but also, you know, the triumphs, the joys, things like, we wanted to portray a more holistic picture, I guess you could say.
Should mention too the two attorneys and their names escape me, so you'll have to mention. But Rebecca, the young, I guess Gen Z attorney, is doing a fabulous job of being a villain, I would say. And I despise her so much, and she's doing such a great job. And then of course on the flip side is the older gentleman who I laugh out loud every time he speaks. He's just stealing the comedic role of the MTX attorney. So the two attorneys are doing a fabulous job of really advancing the humanity within the program. They really are, and that's unusual for attorneys, I guess, to do that. But just their juxtaposition, is that on purpose, by the way? The juxtaposition of those two attorneys with their almost their ethics and the way they view the world?
Yeah, I think they're great foils to one another. Funnily enough, they're both Canadian actors, Kayla Wallace and Colm Feore, and they're both great actors. And I'm glad that you shouted out their performances, because I do think they do an incredible job, and they are so different. And so their dynamic is fun to watch, both individually, like when Colm's bumbling around the MTX house, and also whenever they're together and you get to see their different approaches. You know, that's really fun to watch.
I know we're wrapping up here and we only had a few more minutes. I did want to ask you about playing both sides. It seems like there is some times where they're trying to play both sides a little bit, maybe talking about the environmental side a little too aggressively, maybe talking about the oil and gas side a little too aggressively, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, I do believe that this show, Landman, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus, has been a positive for the industry overall. Despite a lot of the cartel and maybe some of the sensational nature, it seems to me like this has been, whether it's showing some safety features, whether it's showing some of the humanitarian side of things, what's your opinion on it? Do you think it's being received in a favorable way, or do you think that the industry is creating some more enemies through this?
I don't think the industry is creating enemies through this. I wouldn't say. I think we're, you know, I think it's fairly nuanced, while being, you know, it's like you said, it's humanizing this industry, which is, I think, one of the biggest things that's lacking from the narrative, is the human stories, the human faces, the realities on the ground for many. You know, I think when people say oil, they think of capital B, capital O, big oil. They think of Exxon, Chevron, and they forget about the thousands and thousands of workers across America and across the world, frankly, that, you know, are the honestly the heart and soul of the industry, that make it all run, that makes our societies run. And so I think that just tell, I mean, obviously, this is one story, right? Like, this is one of many that should be told, to add to this narrative. I don't think you can put too much pressure on one show to do all of that work. But I do think that we're telling a good story that needs to be told.
In closing, I'll compare it with this, that The crude life for years we've thought that the industry needs to engage more with their end user, because I mean everything uses petroleum products at the end of the day. Anybody who brushes your teeth, the oil and gas industry should be engaging with those people. And we always thought like the college bowl games were great examples, how they've never really sponsored a bowl game, but most people have a positive experience at a college bowl game. So if the Exxon Bowl, you know, that sort of thing, that's an example. And this is an example of that. Landman, the series, is one of those crossover events where somebody can walk away with a positive experience at the very end of it. What do you want people to walk away from when they get done watching Landman?
Well, I hope they're entertained. I hope they enjoy it. I hope it's a way for them to pass their time in an enjoyable way. I mean, that's at the end of the day, we're trying to provide entertainment. But I do also hope that it ignites some conversations as far as people that who have never thought about where does this product come from might actually go and do some of their own research and learn about the Permian Basin or the Bakken or, you know, it's a fascinating history. It's an incredible history, this, you know, the industry in America. And the technological innovations are fascinating. And, you know, the way that safety works now in oil and gas and the way that things are automating, like there's just so much. It's such a rich industry that I don't know. I hope people just want to learn more.
And season two has been picked up. Is that right? Did I read that correctly?
We do not have a season two confirmed yet. We're all hoping to come back and keep telling the story, but no official word yet.
So Deadline just got that wrong with Demi Moore's tweet. Huh? Okay. I just read it online a little bit ago, back in May or something like that. But okay, well, then I'll edit that out for sure. We'll make sure we take care of that. But it did seem like it was written on like a 3 to 5 year your story arc. So it seems like there's definitely a thought for another series or two at least, huh?
We're definitely hoping for more and hoping to continue this story. But, you know, no confirmation yet. It's still just a hope at this point.
Christian Wallace, co-creator of Landman, thank you so much for the time today, and hopefully we'll talk to you again, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you.